This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It's October 10th, 2014. And I welcome all the Friday version listeners to our show. The idea is learning how to make better money choices and decisions. And we focus on investing on a way to make steady progress toward your goal. No get rich quick. Never get rich quick. There's no such thing as getting rich quick. You know, and everybody's trying to get rich quick. Stop it. All those people are doing that. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. Yeah, there are people who win the lottery, but that's not you and me. But this is a place, if you want to get rich slowly, this is the place. Spend some time. Spend this hour with us. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And you can reach us via email if you want, or you can call us on our 24-hour listen line, which is the same number as the live number, 888-99-CHART. And we try to pay you back when you invest this hour with us, with me. We're going to talk more about market in a minute. As a writer for Reuters put it, it was bear attack. Wall Street was mauled this week. Have you seen that? And remember that big up day that everybody was all excited about? 275 points up on, what was it, Wednesday? And remember, it was about 265 or 275 down on Tuesday. Then what happened yesterday? Look what happened today. Yesterday was down 300 points. We're talking about the Dow. And you know, I have a talking point about the Dow. Maybe we should stop talking about the Dow. That's a very good reason why we should just forget about the Dow. Now we're going to talk more about the market. We will. It's good to maintain your perspective. After going through rather a dull period, which we had, remember all that lack of volatility for quite some time, now we're seeing a lot of volatility. It's important to remember that the stock market goes in two directions, and it does often become volatile. If it wasn't volatile, there wouldn't be much opportunities out there, would it? Or at least opportunities would be much smaller. And after all the ups and big drops down over time, the market comes out ahead. History has shown that the market goes up over time. Just does. Might take a long time, but it always goes up. Now, we are still way below. The market has never, the NASDAQ 100 has never been higher than it was in early 2000. Never recovered. All these years, 14 plus years, has not recovered. The Dow and the S&P have. So it does take long periods of time. So that's why it's smarter to be a little bit cautious of where you buy the market. Where do you put your money in? When? Where? Okay? So just hang in there. If you're a buying holder, try to ignore this because you are defined as a buying holder. I love it. Buying holders are buying holders until they're no longer buying holders. They call me up. Oh, I bought this because I was going to hold it for long term. And now should I get out of it? Well, if you bought it to hold it for a long term, why are you even looking at it? Long term means multi-years, decades, ever, forever. Anyways, so just keep that in mind. Now it's time to hear your voice on the program. Invest Talk means you talk too, not just me. You can talk to us live, 4 to 5 Pacific time on Invest Talk, or in between program, in between the times, you can leave your question. Here's one of those questions that were left on the 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Greg from Sacramento. I'm a recently avid podcast listener. Got a question for you, and it's possible you've weighed in on this before. I'd like to hear your opinion about, you know, the benefits of ETFs over mutual funds. I've been in mutual funds for a number of years, and every few years I take a look at their performance and kind of reallocate accordingly. So if a mutual fund, generally speaking, I hope to have mutual funds that are going to beat indexes, and they tend to. And if they don't, then I get rid of them and get ones that do. my personal question is more about what I should do here with the allocation, the reallocation I want to do very soon. ETFs, or to stick with mutual funds and try to find the ones that beat the market, the indexes rather. Okay, thank you.
Well, that's going to be one of our talking points, mutual funds and how to, on a mutual fund, six ways to decide which mutual fund is right for you. It's going to be one of our talking points. But there's a major difference between most mutual funds and ETFs. Most ETFs are non-managed. 99.9% are non-managed index tracking major indexes or slices of the market. Whereas mutual funds, there are index mutual funds and a lot. But most mutual funds are managed by a manager, and they play in a certain specific part of the market. And can they beat the indexes? Sure. But most don't. So you got to find a good manager, and that's what you're talking about, finding a good manager. Now, I'm not talking about finding a manager that beat the index last year. I'm talking about a guy that bleeds it 3, 5, 10 years. That guy is what you want, that it beats it pretty consistently. And he's not going to do it every year. Not going to do it every year. Just not. And if you're in an index, a mutual fund that's specifying and not even competing with the index, you got to compare them not with the S&P 500 or the Dow or the NASDAQ. You got to compare them with the index that most closely matches his investment parameters, his perspective, that the rules that he has to invest under. You got to make sure you do that, because that's the only fair thing to do. So be aware. And just keep track of the managers that you're hiring. If they leave, maybe you should leave, because that's what you got, one of the reasons why you bought that mutual fund. Now it's time to hear your voice, everybody. We want to talk away. We're going to talk about things. We're going to talk about Morningstar ratings, and is that enough about your mutual funds, buying mutual funds? Morningstar rates all the mutual funds. They have stars, 1, 2, 3, 4 stars. But how about the six-way mutual fund test? That's what our main talking point today. That's one about how to test your mutual fund. Is it good, bad, and different? What do you look for? Those kinds of things. Is it time to dump the Dow 30? That's another talking point. The Dow 30 has been around forever, and that's why everybody talks about it, but it's kind of worthless. Talk about that. And Russia, our friends in Russia, is becoming more and more and more of a dictatorship. Russia passes a law to confiscate foreign owners of assets in Russia. To pay Putin's inner circle friends if the sanctions hurt them in some way. So he's going to say, I'm going to take these people's assets over here. These are foreign ownership of these assets, and we're going to just take those, and I'm going to give them to my friends. We're going to talk about Russia, and it's crazy. Why anybody would invest there is beyond me. And finally, I want to talk about oil and why it's in trouble. We talked a little bit about that. Maybe I want to expand a little today if I can get to it. But also, I want to give you 10 of the safest high-yield dividend payers. 10 of the safest high-yield dividend payers. Now, these are the safest of dividend payers. I didn't say they were safe investments. There's a big difference there. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to give you a list, hopefully by the end of the hour. However, what do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Did you see what the market did today? It was down 115 points on the Dow. But what really was striking was the NASDAQ down 102 points and the S&P down 22 points. Remember, the Dow is only 30 stocks. The NASDAQ is 100 and the S&P is 500 stocks. That NASDAQ was down 2.3%. Down, whereas the Dow was only down 0.69%. So it was a big down day for the NASDAQ. And remember, I've told you that small caps lead the market down or up, and tech does the same thing, leads the market down or up. One thing I've noticed on all three of the major indexes everybody talks about, the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ, is all of them are either at or just now breaking their 200-day moving average. That 200-day moving average is the demarcation line of a bear market versus a bull market. At the same time, we really haven't had a 10% correction yet. It hasn't gotten that far. So that just means you that tells you the 200-day moving average has been moving up and up and up with the market this year and last year, and it's it's gotten close enough where the last 2 or 3 weeks of high volatility, most of it down, went to the 200-day moving average. If it breaks it with any kind of gusto, we're probably in a bear market. Now that bear market is described as a market with 20% down from its peak, and that's not even close to that. So there's different definitions. Is a bear market, should it be defined as a breaking of the 200-day moving average to the downside? Well, some people define it as that. But most experts say it's a 20%, greater than a 20% fall from its peak. And we're not even 10 yet. Unless you count the Russell 2000, then you're down, 13-14% there. So, kind of choppy, I think people are getting a bit nervous. There's a new way to get into the conversation on InvestTalk. Answer our Twitter poll. Here's our question. When it comes to managing your money, what do you feel you need to know more about? Please send it via our Twitter to @InvestTalk. @InvestTalk is our Twitter handle there. That's two T's. Don't forget the two T's. InvestTalk. You can get your question to us now the same way or the old-fashioned way that we always have used, and that's the telephone, 888-99-CHART.
Coming up this hour on InvestTalk 101, investing's most challenging question, when to sell a stock. That's coming up in the next half hour on InvestTalk 101. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now.
You know, and when to sell a stock is a lot more important than when to buy. You know that, don't you? Or do you? It is. Trust me. And how about ways in which to find out what mutual fund is right for you? What about that? One of the ways is make sure you read up on your funds, especially the portfolio manager. He guides it and decides. Now you want to look at performance over long periods of time, but performance based on who's managing the funds. How long has that fund manager been there? He gets credit or doesn't get any credit. Depends on how long he's been there. So watch your managers of the mutual funds. And understand the asset allocation of your investments. Okay, the fund has goals, right? And they have in the perspective to tell you, we are a large cap growth fund. We are a small cap energy fund. On and on. So understand the assets that you have in that mutual fund. And make sure that you spread them out. You don't overload in any one thing. And one way to do that is make sure you look at all the top holdings. They always list the 10 top holdings and see how much overlap with all the funds. Let's say you have 10 funds. See what the overlap is. Maybe you have 10% of your money in Apple or 20% of your money in Apple because of the funds you bought. You need to look at the top holdings. Okay, and figure out which one's the largest and how much weight it has on the fund itself. And of course you want to look at the expenses in relationship to the returns, and then the turnover ratio. And if they have a high turnover ratio, you have to think about capital gains tax at the end of the year. And if you buy mutual funds at the end of the year, you may be paying capital gains on taxes that you didn't get any benefit from. So be aware of that as well also. Okay? Mutual funds, they're fun. They are just lots of fun. Okay, the common view being held amongst economists and traders is that the Federal Reserve won't start to raise short-term interest rates until the middle of 2015. I think it might be later than that. Really, I do. Do you go along with that? What do you think? They think in middle of the year. I'm thinking later in the year. Heck, I could see a QE4, especially if the economy tanks. I'm here to talk about what's on your mind. So give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber. And even though you listen after our daily production time, you can still be part of the discussion. Your questions and comments set the tone and the topics, so please participate. Just call 888-99-CHART anytime. And if you'd like to talk live to Steve and Justin, just make that call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time. This is the Friday, October 10th edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. A closer look at an investment strategy designed to meet the goal of investing for safety and income. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. But there's still plenty of time to get in touch today. 888-99-CHART is how to do it right now.
888-992-4278. Is it time to dump the Dow 30? You know, it's been around for over 100 years, but it doesn't really tell us much. It's 30 stocks, and the 30 stocks are price-weighted. That means the higher the price of stock, the more impact it has on the index. For instance, Visa's in there, and Visa has 8 times more weight than GE. So if Visa goes up or down, it swamps if GE goes up or down. And also, if you look at the 30 stocks, most of them are industrials. Not all of them, but most of them are industrial. So isn't that kind of a sector fund or sector index? It certainly doesn't tell you what the overall market is doing, but everybody reports on it, the 30, because it's been around long. But it's not very meaningful. The S&P 500 is 500 largest companies. Well, at least it's the 500 largest companies. Or maybe the Wilshire 5000, which is 5,000 companies. Aren't those better representatives of what's happening in the market than just 30? And if you know who the culprit here is, of course, the media. They keep talking about it every day. Everybody talks about the Dow 30. So everybody knows it. But as you know, for people like me, I don't really pay much attention to the Dow 30. You know, as far as what I think the market's going and what's happening. I don't know. You've heard me talk about the Russell 2000, the small caps, and you'll hear me talk about the S&P 500. And I look at a lot of other indexes and different kinds. Like, do you ever look at the junk bonds versus the regular bonds and what the junk bonds are doing? Have you seen what the junk bonds are doing? You know, you can track them with an ETF. And why is that important? Because bond investors are pretty smart, and generally they're smarter than the market. If you look at the junk bond, look at JNK, it peaked in June, fell sharply in July, then came back to try to get close to that peak in August, but couldn't, and then started falling sharply in September, and has now fallen sharply in October. So it kind of gave you a signal that it's saying the market's kind of weak. You saw it in July. But then August gave you a kind of a head fake because it rose in August, most of August. But just at the end of August, it started to roll over and go back down again. And now, of course, it's broken all 52-week lows, way below the 200-day moving average, or on and on and on and on. So I don't know. Maybe we should stop paying attention to the Dow 30. It's just not worth it. It's not telling you enough. You can listen to it and go, that's nice, but don't put any much weight in it. You know, as far as how what you're going to do. Okay, let's talk to Kurt in San Diego. I do encourage the podcast listener.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions about a company, CE. It's the Celanese Corporation. They're involved with chemicals and materials companies and innovative technologies. Mm-hmm. I inherited the stock it's part of a portfolio I inherited from my stepfather that passed away.
Okay.
And I saw it's taken a kind of a fall back, and I thought this may be a position to pick more up.
Okay. It's a really good company. Celanese Corporation, the symbol is CE, everybody. Manufactures chemical products including acetate products, high-performance engineered polymers sold worldwide. It's out of Irvine, Texas. It's an $8 billion company, big company. Pays a dividend yield of 1.9%. Has a very good return on equity of 32%. I like it 17% higher, and this is 32. Their growth rate is in the single digits, 6.7%. And what you know what is good, Kirk? What is their raw material that they use to make these chemicals and plastics and polymers? Most of that raw material is oil. And their raw material costs are going down. So I kind of like it because of that. But the stock has fallen like a rock, and it's too early to buy it. Okay? If you want to buy more, it's too early. It might fall, stop falling, right around $49 to $50 a share. It's at $52.50. There's support there and quite a bit of support. If you go to a longer-term chart, let me go to a weekly and see where this and huge support at 35. So I just think you're a bit early. Let's wait, but it's a very good company. High profits, okay? I do like it.
So you're thinking like 38.
Yeah, see if it excuse me. Wait till it stops falling. And when I say that, I mean watch it go sideways and start to pick up again for a few days. Let it go sideways. If it does, many times they don't make a V bottom, go straight down and could snake back up. That's pretty unusual. Most time they make a bottom, come up, go down, come up, you know, kind of sideways. But once you see a couple, 3 weeks of up move, then you should buy it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Kirk. And this is just looking at a chart. And it's going to stop falling. It's 11 PE. It's going to make, it's not a great grower, but it grows. The spaces are filling up for our San Jose Day, everybody. I will be in San Jose on October 22nd. And I can do a very limited number of meetings with people then. October 22nd. Go to InvestTalk.com and set up an appointment.
You're listening to InvestTalk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Where are good sources for investing insight and good information? Ask Steve about it. Any money matter is open for discussion. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Let's go to... There's a Twitter question. We have a Twitter question from Jose. I like your opinion about buying Unilever stock for a long-term position. I like the fundamentals. Am I missing something? No, you're not. They're very... Unilever, symbol UN. It's out of the Netherlands. British Dutch producer of food, detergents, personal care products sold worldwide. It's a very solid, big company, $108 billion company. You can't get much bigger than that. The issues are that it's growing very, very slow. You buy this for the dividend. Dividend is 3.4%. Okay, you don't really buy it for the growth because there is none. There's very little growth that this company has experienced in the last year. It might be because it's in Europe. Europe has fallen back into recession. The stock price has come off its $44 high of about 3 or 4 months ago. Today is at 38. Have you noticed, everybody, that the stocks I'm talking about in general, they're all off their highs? Almost all of them are off their highs. So this one went from 44 to 38 today, 38.26. I think, again, like I said before, you got to wait till it stops falling. It has not stopped falling yet. And I think it has some more to go on the downside. The PE is 17. That's pretty rich for this, for a no-growth stock or a very low-growth stock. I would not want to pay more than, I want to pay less than market average of 15 PE. So I wouldn't buy it yet, but it has a great return on equity, 33%, good cash flow, pays a nice dividend. It's got all the things you want except for growth. So wait till it becomes cheap. That's what I would do. And it's not cheap yet. It's not that overpriced, but I think you're going to get it at a better price. And you want to wait till stops falling, goes sideways, and starts back up before you put your toe in it. We rely on your questions to keep us on track with what you want to know, what's on your mind. So we want to help fill in some of those blanks. 888-99-CHARGE, how you can get through to us with a question anytime you want.
Hi, my name is John. I had a question. I heard you talk in the past about the five-year PE range of a stock, and I find that an interesting statistic that I can use when looking at evaluating stocks. Can you tell me where I would go to find that? I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, that's a difficult question because I have it because I pay for that information. You can buy software that'll give it to you. Marketsmith.com. You can buy that, download that software and buy it, and it gives it to you constantly. You might be able to find it at FinViz. FinViz, FinViz.com. They might have it there. And the concept is if you have a five-year PE ratio range, you know, the low and high, like Unilever we just talked about, the five-year range is 14 to 21, and the PE right now is 17. So you want to, you know, that tells you that the stock in the last 5 years, that was its range. But you got to be a little bit careful because in the last 5 years, stock prices have done nothing but go up, basically. But at least you have a range that you can have some basis of valuation. So you take the low of that range, like 14 on Unilever, times next year's earnings, which is $2.35, and you get a stock of about $30. You take the high of 21 times $2.35, and you get about $47, $48, and it's trading at 38. So it's right in the middle of that range. And I just said I would wait till it goes to the bottom of that range before I consider buying it because of the lack of growth. And it's in Europe. How much? I would like to know how much of their sales are coming in Europe because that economy is sinking. Yeah, it never gets easy, everybody. Unilever is a worldwide company, $108 billion company. Where's though are most of its sales? Where is it getting any? Is it getting any kind of growth in any part of the world? And is it reliant more on Europe than let's say the U.S. or Asia or what? You have to figure those things out. Never gets easy. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk about Russia, my favorite country to hate. I think they are just so, the political system in Russia is so bad. So bad. Okay. Russia recently passed a law because, you remember, the sanctions and they're trying to take over Ukraine piece at a time and other parts of other countries pieces at a time. And we're kind of like, don't do that, shaking our finger. Anyways, there were sanctions put against them, you know, by the EU and us. Well, Russia just passed a law today that says that remember those sanctions against very wealthy inner circle people from the United States? Well, they passed a law today that said that any of those inner circle friends of Putin's, if they get damaged by the sanctions, they are allowed to just take foreign assets of companies that are owned by foreigners in their country. They just take them. How many companies are going to invest in Russia after this? Now, they don't only do it to foreigners, though. I don't want you to think that that's what, you know, they're just going after the, you know, people in the West. They don't. They go after, these people go after their own. Remember Khodorkovsky, Yukos Oil? Because he was thinking about, this is years ago, I don't know how many people remember that, he was supporting different political leaders against Putin, and then all of a sudden his company, which is one of the largest oil companies at the time, owed $30 billion in back taxes, and then they threw him in jail, and guess who confiscated the company? And then how about just in 2012, a guy named, Pugachev. He left the country because of whatever he was alleged to be doing, and the country and Russia took his multi-billion-dollar shipping empire away from him. That was in 2012. Or more recently, how about this year? Yashchenkov. He's under house arrest. He has a multi-billion-dollar oil company. House arrest because he's not part of the inner circle. Russia, it's as simple as this. Mr. Putin is a dictator, and he's going to dictate. And if you cross him, you're going to. There's no rule of law there. None. They don't follow the rules. They follow what's politically. And you know, this is true for them since Russian Communist Revolution by the Bolsheviks in the early 19th century. There was wealthy people after that. They were supposed to be the utopian communist system where everybody's treated the same. You know, the Karl Marx utopia image where everybody has the same salaries and have the same house and everybody's equal, which is kind of a naive way of thinking of things. But ever since Russia had that revolution, there were elite politicians that always got the best of everything. Never has changed. Same thing today. So don't think that there's any fair play. And anybody who Western investments in Russia, you are going to be subject to confiscation. Don't think you're not. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. When this new week ends, you can read a market recap in our premium newsletter every week, every Friday. Comes out in the afternoon. It's a quick and easy, early afternoon. It's a quick and easy read, an easy way to keep informed. I talked about why the market was starting to roll over and why this is happening this week. Give you some hints as to that. It's $9.99 a month. Comes out once a week in your email box. You can sign up for a year at a discount if you want, or you can take it month to month. To subscribe, just go to investtalk.com.
This tool measures your appetite for risk. Try our free risk analyzer. It can tell you how you match up with your retirement portfolio. Try it out. It takes only about 3 minutes. It's there for you on investtalk.com.
It's Henning from Ukraine. I've got a question about the female health company, ticker symbol FHCO. I'm very interested because it's been recommended for its rising dividends, and I was wondering whether you could recommend a price point and maybe say a little bit about the risk I would encounter investing in a one-product stock. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. All the best.
Okay, female health company, FHCO. It produces a contraceptive product known as the female condom. Always when a company has one product, it's at higher risk than a company that has more than one product, and that's obvious, okay? It's just simple logic. They made 50 cents a share in 2013. Their high was in 2012 at 53 cents a share. This year, they're going to make 13 cents. That's a 74% fall. And that's why this stock has fallen from $10 in 2013 to $4 today. Now, next year is going to be a 23% increase. And there's the rub. Look how huge gyration that is. And the same problems with sales. Now, it's a $115 million company. Another little problem is it's so small. It's so small, you know, that, you know, this stock could be pushed around by people who want to just move the price up and down. And you could have a lot of manipulation in it. Good return on equity, 52%. That's really high. Management owns 23%. That's really good. Pays a pretty high dividend. It paid a dividend for the first time in 2013, and it was like 7%. We haven't seen the dividend yet, but probably will come. If it comes, it'll come at the end of the year like it did last year, if it comes. May not get that because the earnings were big in 2013, but not so big in 2014. So you can't really rely on the dividend. So it's very risky. And it looks like it's put in the bottom about 350, somewhere around there, 360. And here it is at $4. So it looks like it's put in the bottom because there's a lot of sideways movement in the last couple of months. So if you want to take a risk at something like this, just make sure you do it with money you don't mind losing, because it's a very high risk stock, very high risk. I wouldn't invest in it myself. FHCO. Knowing when to sell. InvestTalk 101. Knowing when to sell a stock. So how do you know it's time to sell? Well, you shouldn't have to ponder that too long. The decision is just as important as the buy decision. Smart investors will establish a price target when they buy a stock, or at least a range where they think that should go to its value. Okay, and once it reaches that value, they reevaluate the stock and see if there is a higher value. And many times, if it reaches the value that you're happy with, you don't necessarily sell it then, but you might put a stop, a very tight stop, and follow it up if it continues to go up. And if it starts to roll over, you get stopped out, you're sold. You also sell a stock when competition is selling a better product than the company that you own. There's what's called creative destruction. Maybe your product of the company you own is being destroyed by some innovation or new product that's taken over. Want an example of that? How about when Apple came out with his iPod and what that did to the music industry, the CD industry, the music store, physical music store industry. Destroyed it. Gone. Is it happening in the TV world with Netflix and other online entertainment destroying the cable and normal TV watching? Cable is doing its best to keep up or ahead, and they might win. But that kind of thing with a stock, when you're looking at a stock, you're looking at what's going to hurt it. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to figure out. Remember smartphones versus landline phones? Who got hurt there? Who made those landline phones? Whoever makes them, probably out of business, unless they switch to smartphones. Look at Research in Motion. The company is probably going to go out of business. That's InvestTalk 101, when to sell the stock. If you have a question and decide what to do, well, you can always call me. Just click on Contact Steve at InvestTalk.com. You can send me an email through that. You can call me at 888-99-CHART. You can send me a message on our Twitter at InvestTalk with two T's. Whatever you want to do.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. So we've seen the market now for what? Several weeks. The market has been going down. But it still, and it is breaking the 200-day moving average. If you're looking at the Dow, it got close to breaking that 200-day moving average in July, and today it broke it on the downside. That is, so we're looking at weakness that is an indicator of a change in direction. You can't really say that yet. You can't say it's a bear market. Remember, a correction is between, normal correction is 10%. And until it breaks below 20% from a high, you're still in a correction as opposed to a bear market. And no, recently it feels like we're in a bear market, but we're really not yet. You really can't describe it as a bear market. Now, some people will describe breaking of a 200-day moving average on the downside is a bear market, but most experts say it's got to be a 20% fall from the high. Then it's a bear market. So that's what we're looking at. We're seeing several weeks, over a month worth of down volatility. Down. We're close to our last segment of the hour, everybody. Do you have a question about one of our topics? You can call right now, 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, a closer look at an investment strategy designed to meet the goal of investing for safety and income. That's our talking point for Monday, October 13th, and we hope you'll listen to that podcast. If you have a question for Steve or Justin, you can ask it anytime at 888-99-CHART, and they'll have an answer for you on the next podcast.
This is Invest Talk, and here are some words to live by. In investing, what is comfortable is rarely profitable. Robert Arnott. We're glad you invested this hour with us. And once again, here's portfolio manager Steve Peasley.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Mitch in Union City. How you doing, Mitch?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Wanted your opinion on Leapfrog. I bought it around $7. They've been doing okay. Not too great, not too bad. So, and I think they're coming out with the new product, like kind of like a PlayStation for kids this October. But the stock has been going down, so wanted your opinion.
Well, the problem is last, just in December 2012, it made $244 million. This is Leapfrog Enterprises, everybody. It makes kids' toys, okay, educational-based kids' toys. And in 2012, in December quarter, $244 million. But in 2013, the December quarter was $201 million. So the sales quarter over quarter a year ago have gone down, and they continue to go down every quarter. So, and they made 58 cents last in 2013 per share. They're only make 18 cents per share this year. So unless they have a blowout product, they're in trouble. They don't have a lot. They don't have any debt, but it's a small company and sales have been going down. They got to spark debt somehow. I mean, spark sales somehow. And you're telling me they have a new toy, a new something, and that has to take off or this company's going down. And I personally, I think it's too risky for this.
Okay.
For me. That's Leapfrog, LF, everybody. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Let's go to Tom in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Tom?
Hi, Steve. Just fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I had a question on GlaxoSmithKline, George
yes.
Sam King.
Yep. UK-based.
I'm trying to get your opinion on it.
Okay. UK-based developer of pharmaceuticals. I've always liked GSK. And the stock has been falling from 56 down to 44, and it's making new 52-week lows, well below 200-day moving average, broken all support. And they're going to make $3.15 this year after making $3.72 last year, pays a 6% dividend. This is the stock you want to buy because of the dividend, and 6% now. The sales are anemic. You know, they're falling 2 to 3, 4%. Per quarter, but it's a huge company, $108 billion. So that probably will stop. I just don't know when. You want to be a buyer of this company when the stock stops falling. So you
got
to wait.
Okay, I've already got it. I started getting into it at 47.
Okay.
And I'm watching it fall. So I kept buying it as it's going down, but I should hold off now.
Yeah, don't buy anymore, because long term this stock is going to do well. Tom, but long term it could be years, okay? Not just some years. It could be 3, 4, 5 years to get back. Meanwhile, you're getting that 6% dividend. You may not.
That's the main thing I was looking at.
Yeah, and it will continue. The dividend is perfectly safe, but it's pretty painful to hold as it goes down. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
But good luck, Tom. Hope it works for you. GSK. Al in Santa Clara. How you doing, Al?
Okay, thank you, Steve. I have a question on Synaptics, S-Y-N-A.
Yes. It's a very good company. It's growing. Unlike the other companies, it develops touchpad and customized user interface software for smartphones, tablets, and personal computers. So it's growing. It sells 30-plus percent quarter over quarter. Earnings are going to be up 49% this year, then only up 10% next year. So... that it's going to slow down a little bit. The stock got as high as like 90, 91 or so, and now it's at 65. And do you own it, Al? Do you want to buy it?
Yeah, I do own it. I bought it on 85.
Okay.
It kept dropping.
I think it's going to go down to your 60 area, maybe 58, 59, 60. That looks like where it's going to. It just broke the 200-day moving average. But it's a very good company, and they're going to make lots of money, and it's not that expensive, but it is on a downstroke, like the rest of the market. It's going to fall with the market, but it does have good fundamentals, very good fundamentals. Okay? Well, for me, I'd probably hold on to it unless it breaks below I'm going to say if it breaks below 57, I would get very, very nervous. But that's another, 12% from here? So either sell it now and buy it back later, or you wait till it breaks that support. It's up to you. Good luck, Al.
Thank you.
Before we close for the hour, a reminder to try out our new risk analysis tool. Risk analysis tool. It's free on investtalk.com. Get your risk score, how much risk you are comfortable with, between 0 and 100. 100 high risk, 0 no risk. Try it out at investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, we thank you for listening and enjoy your weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.